If you have your Bible this evening, turn over to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. I want to share, I'm going to skip over some stuff that I'd actually started this morning. I'm going to finish in the same pattern, same place, but I'm going to leave the book of Corinthians and I'm going to go ahead and go into Romans chapter 5. Just turn back a few pages and you'll run into the book of Romans. I want to begin here with a scripture and kindly give you the theme, and they'll have to adjust me a little bit. I got a little bit of a roar up here, a little bit too loud on my monitors. To kindly give you a little bit of a background of where we're going this evening. We talked this morning simply about the topic, finding my strength in Him. And I kindly wanted to go back into that this evening because earlier in the week, I believe the Lord laid that on my heart. Now, before I get too far into this message, I want to read this scripture to you. And again, Paul was making his declaration of salvation with the Jew and the Gentile and bringing everybody into the family of God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is basically what Paul was doing when he wrote this whole book of Romans to those that was there in Rome. And Paul opens this and he begins to say in verse number 1, he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Is that not a good scripture? "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Number 2 is, verse 2, "by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation." There it is again. We mentioned that this morning. If you look in a amplified version, that is actually talks about under pressure. "So we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Verse number 6 is a key verse for tonight. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." And then in verse number 8, we know this scripture very, very well. "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement." Stretch your hands this way and pray over me tonight that God would touch me. Father, I pray, God, even now, that You would minister in this room. That, God, that You would give me the strength that I need for this service. Father, I pray that You would engulf us. I pray, Father God, that You would touch me by the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, not in my own strength, not in my own ways, not in any type of intellect, but God, let it be the pure power of heaven come down in this room tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that in you, Lord, we live, we move, we have our being. And without you, we cannot do anything at all. Father, I pray, God, even now that you strengthen this congregation. Strengthen us, God, that we might walk in the power of the Holy Spirit under the unction to do the work of the ministry. And Father, we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. If you look back at this text, there are several verses of Scripture that I'll be getting to as we begin to walk through this text this evening. But again, in verse number 5, when we look in verse number 6, the Bible says this: "For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." I don't know, again, I told you last week, I don't know exactly where I was at when this thought came to me. I was just doing my daily things that I do, and for some reason the thought hit me: you can't do nothing without God. You can't even preach without God. You can't go and get out of bed in the morning without God. Now think about this, that God is our strength. Everything we do comes from God. I remember reading in the book of Psalms, in Psalm chapter 46, and even in verse number 1. And it opens up in these very simple words, because the Bible says that God is our refuge and strength. When we look at that in the Scripture, all throughout the Bible reminds us of the strength and the power of God. Another verse that came to my mind simply because of what the Bible describes as the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that in Acts 1 and 8 that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, I got a problem. I don't know why I got a problem. I threw 2 flashlights in the trash this morning that didn't work. I don't know why I like flashlights. I don't know if I'm afraid of the dark or if I just like to be able to see where I'm going as I get older. I don't know. But I bought one. I was with Horace and Darlene, and we was over at Hamrick's back several months ago. I thought to myself, boy, that's a good buy. It's a flashlight. Plug it up, charge the battery. All you got to do is, here's a great flashlight. Thing wouldn't even come on after I charged it. I'd push the button and it'd blink. It just barely blink. I thought, well, that's why you were $5.99. I threw it in the trash this morning. There was an old mag light that I had. I've had it for years and years and years. One of the old-fashioned, before LED come out. It's about that long. It'd be good to hit somebody with if I jumped on you. Sorry, I said that in public. But that's about as good as it'd be. Brother Steve, it takes 4 big D cell batteries. That thing wouldn't even work. You got one, I know why you got it too. But I said that to say this. The flashlights look perfect. They look good. I mean, they look like they were perfect working order. But you know what? They didn't have a power source. I threw both them things in the trash this morning thinking about how I wish they worked, but they didn't work. You know what I mean? Then I was working on this message and I thought it's the same concept. Because God has told you and God has told me, if you look at this Scripture, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. God even recognized that you and I need power in our lives. Those flashlights were actually no good. Actually, this is a perfect example. If I turned it back on, even the one I'm talking through, I got a lapel mic on, it's right there. If I take this mic and I take the battery out of it, I can have all the beautiful pieces of the mic. I mean, I've got it on my belt, it's right there, and it looks good. But if you take the battery out of it, it's no count. It's no good. Now, I said that to say this, that if you take a person, myself included, that don't have the strength of God in them, what benefit are we to the kingdom of God? God said to the upper room people to go over Jerusalem and wait until you be endued with power from on high. It was God's plan, it was God's purpose to fill the church with the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible, when we think about this, we think about what the Bible says in a couple of different places. We think about in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 13. He says this in the Word, and when we see this here, he says that I can do all things through Christ, if you look at that, which strengtheneth me. We think about the strength of God. We think about the power of God. Paul, this morning, again, when I thought about Paul, I was talking about him, and I never really got to the latter part of that message, but Paul recognized really, in all reality, how weak he really was in his flesh. And how much he really needed the power of God in his life. If there's anything we need in our life today, it's a brand new fresh anointing. I think it's Psalm 92 and 10 that says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. A buddy of mine, we were eating a couple of weeks ago down here at Sunrise. I didn't mean to say that. But that slipped out. I promise it did. We were eating in a local restaurant is what I meant to say. And he got like this piece of steak, something for breakfast, you know. And he said that piece of steak tastes like catfish. And it was breakfast. And I'm thinking, well, I know what happened there. They didn't change their oil. And it's like cooking today's food in yesterday's grease. A lot of times we as the church, we try to operate in our old anointing, if you will. We try to operate only on things that we've learned and things that we know and things that we've done. Come on, somebody. And what I'm saying this evening, God, you said that you would give us the strength. You said that you were our strength. You said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We need a fresh anointing in the church today. I need a fresh anointing in the church today. If there's anything it's going to take, because we know that outside of the anointing of God, that our flesh is weak. Even Paul talked about that. Paul talked about the limitation of the flesh. And I've read this scripture so many times, but I'm sorry, I'm going to have to read it again tonight. But it's there in the book of Romans chapter number 7, because Paul talks about this. I love this. And Paul basically identifies with the struggle and the battle that he has, and the battle and the struggle that he's going through. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Now, King James is hard to understand right there. Bottom line is simply this. The very thing I know I need to do, I don't do it. And the things I know I don't need to be doing is the very thing that I'm doing. That's basically what Paul is saying. And in this, we see here when he walks down through verse 16 and following, he said, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law, that is good. Now, verse number 17, he says these words. He says, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Paul says, I've got a will to do good, but within my flesh, I don't even know how to do good. I don't even know how to do it. And he says this in the Word, and he says in verse 19, for the good that I would do, I do it not, but the evil which I would not do, that I do. Paul seems to be like he's a really mixed up character right there. But you know, in all reality, that's every one of us. That's every one of us when we think about the life that we live. Don't raise your hand. This is not a trick question, so don't raise your hand. How many of you have ever fallen into the trap of doing things you know you should not do, but because of the weakness of the flesh, you go ahead and do it anyway? We've all probably done that at one time or another. I'm not making any excuse for sin. I'm not trying to say that sin is okay. But the point that I'm trying to make here this evening is simply to say this, that without God, you and I are a miserable train wreck. Without God, we don't have any strength within us. Without God, we don't have any power to stand against the very wiles of the enemy. I was reading through, and I told the kids in Sunday school this morning, and a few of them that was here, I said, I'm going to mention this in the message. I really thought I would get to it this morning, but I want to go ahead and touch on it just for a second here tonight, because he teaches us in Ephesians, you know it as well as I do, Ephesians chapter number 6. When you open that up, he begins to talk about this because Paul knew the struggle of the flesh. Paul knew that he had to be fully armored with the armament of God in order to be able to win the victory day in and day out in his life. Can I tell you something, friend? It's not just a Sunday victory. It is a day in and a day out battle for you and I to keep the victory in our lives. Hey, guess what? Newsflash. The preacher has to do it too. Come on, somebody. Every day we live, we've got to keep the cross in front of us. Because if we don't keep the cross in front of us, the very thing that I would not do, I do. And the flesh wrestles and the flesh bombards us. And I'm saying, you know, the Bible, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but it is Christ that lives within me. Amen. But we look here in the scripture where he talks about this in Ephesians 6 and 10. And he opens this up and he begins to say, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And when I read that, again, I'm a word person and words jump off the pages at me. And he says, be strong in the Lord. We got to be strong in Him. We got to put on the full armor of God. We got to be strong in Him. I remember the Bible says, and leave it right there for just a minute, but the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new in Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Jesus living inside of me is the power of the Holy Ghost permeating every part of who I am. Hey, can I tell you, friend, it's more than just a Sunday morning thrill. It's more than just a Sunday night. Well, we'll get through it. My friend, this thing's got to be done day in and day out. There's a power, there's a strength that's going to strengthen you on a Monday and a Tuesday and the very rest of the week. It's Christ Jesus Himself. You can go back and you can read all the way through Ephesians chapter 6. I'm not going to take the time to read all of that, but the next verse, verse 11, is the scripture that the children have learned in the classroom on Sunday morning. And an angel could come up here and probably quote this verse to you. And it says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the armor of God. You know that verse, don't you, angel? Put on the whole armor of God. Put on your armor. We have a few firefighters in the building. I don't know of a firefighter that had they got turnout gear. I remember I was in a fire department for a while. I was a junior fireman. And I tell you what, I don't know what I was thinking. But man, hey Chris, you can relate to this. Anybody else a firefighter in the building besides me and Chris? I used to be, not no more. A lot of other guys have been. Do you remember the first time you put on your turnout gear? I mean, it was a thrill down your backbone. Wasn't ready to fight fire. I mean, you was. I mean, you put your helmet. I mean, they issue you all this equipment for the purpose of fighting fire. And you think to yourself, they ain't a fire too big for me. I got my boots. I got my insulated breeches. And I put my boots down with my breeches rolled down over my boots where I can jump out of bed and just put my foot right in that thing, go down the road 80 miles an hour, and I got an excuse to speed. I remember a time. I was a junior fireman. I was able to go to fires and do things. And I had one of these, Chris, I had a bubble thing on my dash and it went round and round and red, you know. And I went by the fire station. There was a fire. I went down there and I picked a guy up and here I was. I was in a 79 Chevrolet pickup truck. I was hauling boogie. I mean, down the road. I mean, I was going down Hyder Mountain Road just like this. The road's like it. He said, my God, man, slow down. It's only a dumpster fire. True story. He said, man, you're going to get us killed. Well, I'd seen other firemen do that, and I thought, Brother Russell, I'm supposed to do it too, you know. I mean, my goodness. It's easy to put on the armor. Yeah, learn the hard way, Brother K. It's easy to put on the armor. But the reality of the story is, it's not putting on the armor that prepares you for the battle. And there's a lot of stuff that could go along with that. But in the context of the scripture, he gives us the outline of what you're supposed to do. And the reason, putting on the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the loins girt with truth, the feet with the gospel, the preparation of the gospel, all that stuff is why. So you will be able to stand against the attacks of the devil. The man of God fully furnished with all good works, as the scripture says. Verse 11, and that other thing, and verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he says this, and I got to move on. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to that you might withstand in that evil day, and having done all to stand. And then he said, stand therefore. You and I need the strength of God. That fireman's story about wore me out. We need the strength of God. And the only way I can say this is the only way I feel it, and the only way I sense it in my own life. If we're not prepared with the strength of God, failure is assured. There is a certainty to it. Now, when we begin to look at this, We look at the scripture of what Paul was actually saying here in the scripture. And he said here in the word that we've got to stand strong against the attacks and the wiles of the devil. So how do we do that? How does that work? Paul begins to talk about this in the text that I read to you. He talks about in the opening part of this text in Romans 5 verse number 1. He begins to say these words, and I love these words because when he opens it up, now think about this, where your strength comes from, where my strength comes from, and Christ in us, the hope of glory. Therefore, being justified by faith. Now, again, there's 11 verses, and I don't know if I'm going to take the time to talk about all 11 of them. It gets kind of lengthy, so I might skip over some of it. The first thing that Paul begins to speak of here is that you and I have been justified. When we think about justified, we think about justification. Now, we've heard it years in the church of God. We've heard it preached for years and years and years what justification is, or how we understand being justified. And to us, the understanding of justified is simply this, that God positionally, through Christ, puts us positionally before Christ in a position just as if we had never sinned. I tell you, that's pretty good. So when the devil comes at us, and the devil jumps on us, and the devil starts trying to tear us apart, so to speak, and bring us down, hey, the only thing we've got to understand is that our strength comes from God, as I mentioned this morning, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us, that we are the children of God, that we have the power of the Holy Ghost because of the wonder-working power of the blood, that I stand in front of God my Redeemer, justified and filled with the power of His strength to be able to fight against the wiles of the devil. Now, again, I preach how I feel. I preach how I study, how I read, and how I sense this. But aren't you tired of being defeated by the devil? Always saying, the devil done this to me. Flip Wilson said, the devil did it, you know, and whatever. But the devil made me do it. I'm tired of the devil. Why don't we quit talking and glorifying the devil so much and start talking about what God can do? Hey, a friend of mine put this saying on Facebook today, and she didn't even know I was preaching this by no means, but a friend of mine put it on there, and I actually photo cropped it, and I meant to send it to Kathy, and I forgot about it. But you know what? This little quote this evening really spoke volume to me because it said, David did not worry about the strength of Goliath because he already knew the strength of God. And you know, when we know the strength of God, when we know that greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. Now let me say it the way I feel it. We need to quit sticking our head in the sand. We need to quit. The only thing I can say again, we need to quit. Get out of the mully grubs if you quit. Belly aching, that's the word I was looking for. Because we're always saying how much the devil's beating me up. I'm not a child of the devil. The devil touches me, Brother Russell. He's a trespasser. He has no right touching me. Brother West, I don't belong to the devil. He can come knocking on the door, but I don't have to open the door. Hey, he's going to bombard. He's going to try, Brother Steve, to do anything. You know what I mean? You've talked about. He's going to try to do everything he can. But what we've got to do is we've got to be able to rise up in the power and the strength of God and understand that if we looked at this scripture again that I read unto you, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is coming back for a church that is looking for him. But I don't believe that God's coming back for a church that's weak-kneed and limp-wristed, if you will, and jellyfish backboned, if you will. But he's coming for a church that's looking for him and a church that stands strong in the power of his might, and that is not a defeated church that is overcome by the enemy of our soul, but a victorious church. Sometimes I just get tired of all the belly aching, just at large. And don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say, is because as long as the devil can get you talking about all the defeatism, guess what you're going to do? Be defeated. I'm not defeated. If you're a child of God, you've been justified by faith. Again, there's 11 verses and a whole lot in these 11 verses. There is a lot in these 11 verses. So when I was reading this, one of the first things that it talked about as far as being justified, now think about this. It talks about this as a legal decree. It says, we have been found guilty as we stand before the court of God's law. As we stand before God in all of his glory, Paul explained how, because of what Jesus did, the righteousness of God is given to all who believe, and the guilty sentence that we all have been walking under. You can read the latter part of this scripture because it talks about by one man, Adam, sin entered into the human race, but because of one man, Jesus, that sin has been reconciled, and how that sin and the power of sin has been abolished. But the guilty sentence is transformed into a sentence of being justified, and justified by faith. Faith, again, a faith that we have placed a confidence in the blood and the sacrificial death that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Our strength don't come from our pedigree. Our strength don't come from 1200 West Holly Hill Road. My friend, our strength comes from the Lord and knowing that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord. And my friend, even though at one time we were sinners, we today can stand before God guiltless, if you will, because of what his dear son did on Calvary 2,000 years ago. I don't know about you, but that's the strength of God in action in all of our lives, because at one time we had no strength. We had no strength because we didn't have Jesus. We didn't have the power. Second thing we see here in the scripture when we look at this, justified by faith. Second thing the commentary talked about as I was reading through all this, it said, now we have peace. I can only talk about me. I remember what it felt like not to have peace. I remember wringing my hands. I remember the worry. I remember the fretting. I remember everything that I went through when I was a younger person, and I didn't even understand what I was going through. I was a major. I mean, I had a PhD in worrywartism. I would worry about everything. You know? I used to say I'd worry about if the sun was coming up in the morning. You know, I worried about everything. I was a young man. I was 17, 16, 17 year old. But I would worry. I don't know why. But you know what? On that Sunday morning, when I give my heart to God, that don't mean that I'm still not concerned about issues. As you've probably said, well, you've said you worry before. You've worried before too. Somebody says worry is a sin. Show that to me in the Bible, if you will, please. But we're supposed to trust God, not worry about it all. God's got it. And because we've been justified, the second thing that he mentioned in this verse of Scripture is simply this, that we have made peace with God. We have made peace with God. When I thought about that, I remember that so many people today are looking for peace. So many people today are looking for peace in all the wrong places. You can go to any bar on a Friday night, look around, and you can see that people are drinking their sorrows away, hoping that they're going to be better in the morning. But when they wake up the next morning, guess what? They've already got a DUI and their troubles has multiplied. Amen. We think about verse number one only, that Jesus can give us long-lasting peace, and there's absolutely nothing that can do that except Jesus. This next thing he talks about, we see here in the Scripture, is simply because God, I love this. He says this in the Word. He says in verse 2, but by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, God's grace, unmerited favor of God, standing in grace, we see, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory, hope of the glory of God. And not only, but we glory in tribulations. Paul talks about all the troubles and everything that he's went through, all the trouble. And then we can see that how that we have this peace in our heart because of another event that took place, and God gives us this strength. Through the power, and I love this because when I read this and I was writing my outline out and I was thinking about all this, because we've been made heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Now think about what Jesus did. Give me a minute to get me a drink of water. I'm about to preach myself hoarse here this evening. He says here in the Word, in the Scripture, now I'm going to jump down and then I'm going to go back. He says here in the Scripture that we have been reconciled. Verse number 10, he says, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by life. What does reconciled mean? He uses this word reconciled, that we were without strength. We could not do anything about our own salvation. We did not have any peace. We certainly think about the first part, that we were not justified. But because of what Jesus did, the Scripture says that we have been reconciled to God. Again, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 13, it mentions this. The condition that you and I were in prior to our conversion. He uses that term in the Scripture. In Ephesians 2 and 13, and this is what he says in the Word. He said, but now in Christ Jesus, we were sometimes far off, but made nigh by the blood of Jesus. This is why we've been made strong, because it's Christ in us. Now, let me backpedal for just a second. Now, in this word, reconcile, do you know what that word means? It means to be brought together. When we were afar off, when we did not have the strength of God, when we did not have the power of God, when we were not living for Him, and all that was running through our veins, if you will, was a death sentence of condemnation. But now we've been made nigh, the Bible says, by the blood of the cross, by the blood of Christ. The word reconcile, we think about reconcile. We think about the word reconciliation. And this word reconcile or this word reconciliation is a reparatory word where there was a brokenness in a relationship that God has repaired that relationship. It's like two pieces of cloth, one over here, brought together, and a seamstress sews them together. They've been brought together. Look at the great divide. Look at your life, how you lived your life. Look at the righteousness of God. My friend, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But because of the amazing acts of the cross, when you and I were at one time away far off, now God has brought us together. He has strengthened us. And now we're not our own. We're bought with a price. And now we don't even testify of ourselves. Now we don't do it on our own. We do it because of the redemptive work that Jesus Christ has done on Calvary. And he said this word, reconcile. We think about reconciliation. We think about this terminology in the scripture of, I'm trying to understand it in a theological mindset, of being brought together. He goes on and talks about a repaired relationship. He talks about this in a repaired relationship. Relationship to God is in a more personal, terms, if you will. Again, the scripture here talks about this in Ephesians 2 and 13. It reminds us that we were afar off, but it talks about how that we were on the outside looking in, and it talks about how there was a wall. And then when I read through that, it talked about how that there was at one time a barrier, there was a wall, a partition. But thank God, we think about it, that the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Hallelujah. Where we could not go, now we have access to God Himself. And the Bible reminds us again in Ephesians 2 and 14, just near this other verse of Scripture. He says, for He is our peace. So we've been reconciled. We've been brought back in relationship with Him. Not only have we been reconciled, but we see that we have peace. Not only that, but we've been justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be shouting happy this evening because of what Jesus has done in our life. The middle wall of partition has been broken down. Again, when we think about reconciliation, this is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5. And we can all turn there. I need to turn there myself and look at that. 2 Corinthians 5, and we're going to look in verses 17 and 18. And I want to read this to you and make sure I'm in the right place on that one. 17 and 18. This is what he says in the Word. He says, and I've already read or mentioned 17 to you, but I'm going to do it again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Look in verse number 18. And all things are of God. What's he talking? To those who have been made new creatures, who hath reconciled us to himself. We've been reconciled unto him, where we were away off, but now we come together. And he says, we've been reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now, he says that we have been given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's interesting, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. As much as God has done for you, God has also given us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul had that because Paul earnestly sought to bring the Jew and the Gentile together by telling them that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1 and 16. And he said to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul had one thing and he marched under one banner, and that was to bring all men, women, boys, and girls to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, give us the ministry of reconciliation. Now let me take a deep breath and find out where I'm at. So what is this? Strength. It's the strength of knowing I've got peace with God. The Bible teaches us this in Isaiah, without turning there, he said that God would give us a peace that passeth all understanding. Peace because the Prince of Peace has paid in full the sin debt for you and I. He did what I could not do, and that is that I've been made the righteousness of God in Him, and I've made peace with God. Again, when we think about the battle that exists between God and ourselves is over. I don't battle God no more. Are you with me? I don't battle God no more because if you go back into Romans 8, and I'm not going to take the time to do that, but Paul again was talking about how the flesh is at enmity with God and how that the spirit and the flesh wrestle one against the other. And I'm just simply saying, if you really want peace with God, just go ahead and give it all over to Him. Now, let me find out again where I'm at here for just a second. Sometimes we won't end this world peace, but this peace won't come. No, our peace comes from God and not the world. The peace that the scripture talks about here this evening is not peace with the devil, peace with a friend, or peace with a companion. It's the type of peace that only comes from the strength of God, knowing who Jesus Christ truly is. Now, verse 2, and I'm going to wrap it up right here. I'm not going to finish the outline. I've got about 4 more pages. I'm not going to finish that. I really do have about 4 more pages. Bobby, I was even going to talk about sanctification tonight in this message. How that we need a good old-fashioned dose of sanctification. It's in my notes. You say, what's sanctification got to do with being strengthened? See, it's got a lot to do with it. Because at one time, we think about sanctification in the terms of dipping and smoking. That's the Church of God way of thinking about sanctification. We describe sanctification as being set apart meat for the Master's use. We think about sanctification as being separated from things that are sinful and dedicated to, set apart and dedicated to the use of God, made use for the Master, set apart for God's purpose. But I have to dare say that in our society today, that sanctification goes way beyond just the things that we dealt with way back yonder. Pastor Dotson, my mentor, one of the things that Brother Dotson used to say to me, he said, son, I can't even chew a piece of chewing gum. I got under conviction over chewing chewing gum when I first got saved, and I can't chew a piece of chewing gum to this day. Well, that's his conviction. That's not my conviction. I've got a pack of chewing gum on my dresser because I drink a lot of coffee, and my coffee breath sometimes needs a piece of chewing gum. Are you with me? Somebody said, well, you can get sanctified and quit drinking that coffee. Here we go. Here we go. A guy get a gnat and swallow a camel. But here we go. But, you know, you can talk about all these things. So we talk about these sinful things. We talk about sinful things, again, in our life that keep us separated from being the person that God would have us to be. Now, I'm going to ask Miss Penny to come. Sister Penny, I'm sorry. We're not in the daycare. Woo! Hallelujah, preacher. The second thing that I thought about the strength of God, where he teaches us this in our text this evening. Again, in Romans chapter number 5, and I didn't get no further than verse number 2. Even though verse number 6 was where I was really heading. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 2 says these very words, and he says there in 2, without me reading the whole outline and going through the whole thing, he says we have access. We have access by faith into this grace. And again, we could go through this whole thing about grace, and we could talk about what grace is, the unmerited favor of God. We can talk about the grace of God, the amazing grace, how sweet the sound. We can talk about all that. But I'm talking about the strength of God. I'm talking about the strength of God this evening. Again, earlier in the weekend, and I was just thinking about the services today, Brother Russell, I thought to myself how weak I am without Him. I thought about how weak the church is without Him. I thought about how weak we are without Him. And if you want to be able to stand and wrestle against the wiles of the devil and fight the good fight of faith and do everything that I've talked about for an hour. Stand strong in Him. You say, well, preacher, how do you get the strength of God? That would be a good topic to preach on, wouldn't it? If I had another hour, we'd probably get Brother Jones up here and he could preach on that for an hour. How do we get the strength of God? Real simple. It's actually a one sentence answer. The strength of God comes from Jesus Himself. You get Him and it comes with Him. But you'll be able to, by in Him I live and I move and I have my being. Sometimes you say, my strength is almost gone. The only thing I can tell you about that, I don't know if it was Sandra I was talking to the other day. I think it was. She sits on the front. She gets picked on a lot. Anybody besides Brother West, I know he'll remember it. Brother Russell remember it. Some of the rest of you. You ever remember the old-fashioned term, praying through? Bobby remembers. What do you mean, praying through? You stay in the altar until you get it, but you stay in the altar until you get your answer. You stay in the altar till the glory comes. You stay in the altar till things change in your life. Years ago in the church, we didn't know if we was hanging on or letting go. You know what I'm talking about, most of you. They'd pat you on the back and beat you half to death and say, hold on, brother. The one over here was saying, let go, brother. I didn't know if you was coming or going or hanging on or letting go. I don't know. But I've done that, Stan. I've held on in an altar before, and I've cried to God, and I've pleaded with God until my answer come. And a lot of times, we got to do that. Again, I say this often, and sometimes I get these looks, but I'm going to say it again. Don't get mad at the preacher. If you don't have it, it ain't my fault. It's your own fault. You can't hardly buy altar service anymore, because we've always got somewhere else to go. And you know what? The things I hear is people don't come to the altar because they don't want people looking at them. Then, for a season, I said, well, everybody come to the altar. Then everybody will be on equal terms, and nobody will know what you're even up here for. I mean, how do you do that? How do you do that? I'll tell you how you do it. When you get hungry enough and your situation needs to change, you're going to be like Brother Steve. Me and him's talked about. You don't care who's looking at you. All you know is, Brother Harden, you need your breakthrough. If you need to cry, you cry. If you need to yell, you yell. I didn't know Cindy was such a preacher till this morning. If you need to just get it out of your system, you get it out of your system. Kick the devil's teeth out if you have to, but get your victory. Be strengthened in God. Be strengthened in the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't go through life spiritually defeated. Amen. Stand with me. That's all I got to say. There's probably 100 different things I could have put into this message this evening. Father, I've asked you today, God, to touch this service tonight and touch this people. Father, I don't know who's here. I don't know who needs what. I have no clue. But you know exactly what we need in the service tonight. You know exactly what we need to do in the service tonight. Father, I've bore my heart this evening. As Father God, as we have come to say, Lord, here am I. And Father, I pray for those that are weak, that they lift up those feeble hands, God, that they lift up those hands unto you. That God, that you would strengthen them in the power of the Holy Ghost. That you would strengthen them for this week. But God, you said in your word that when we were yet without strength, that Christ died for us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God, you are our refuge. You are our strength. And on and on and on we go. And God, I pray that even right now, that you, Lord, strengthen this church. You, Lord, minister in this place. And Father, we're going to be careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it.
in Jesus' name. You go tonight in the power of God and the strength of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the prophets of the scripture ate a meal and went in the power of God for 40 days.